slammed Kentucky like 34 points. I don't think I've enjoyed another game as much that wasn't in, like, you know, the Sweet 16 round for last year. But, I mean, for regular season or SEC tournament game, the last game I enjoyed, and it was different because we had to make the big comeback tonight and we just ran Kentucky off the floor, but just the self-satisfaction of doing what we did to both of our most hated rivals, at least my most hated rivals, it's hard to even put into words the ecstasy that you feel.
And against that backdrop, Don, a team that just choked and died right in front of us down the stretch, like a good old friend, you know, that you let go of the last month. You had hopes for them, and they got ill, and you just, Don, you were willing to let them go and appreciate them, and they tried so hard. And I was going to have no fault with them. I would have easily, if they'd have gotten on here tonight and gotten beat 10-15 down the stretch, I'd have said, hey, I tip my cap to those guys. They played hard all year.
Yep.
And I mean that. And I would have said it, and I would have meant it. With every fiber of my body, I would have meant that.
Oh, I agree. When Vandy came out and just started stroking right off the bat, I'm like, oh, my God. I watched them in their last game after us, and they couldn't miss the three, and I thought, is this going to be what we're going to look at the rest of the freaking night? And then they started getting a little cold from out there, which kept giving us some opportunities, and we would not always take advantage of those opportunities. But I think Donnie's got something going with his man defense, Keith. What do you think?
Sir, it was the difference in the game. It's what got the game swung back in Tennessee's direction.
Absolutely. They got started getting those passing lanes, and I can't get off the phone tonight without saying I was going to watch it if we got beat by 30 to the end, because I am so much going to miss Josh Richardson. And his refuse to lose, he was like, I think, 7 out of 8 from in the field in the second half, and then he missed his last when we was at 3, and I went, oh, don't miss it. You know, I hate he missed it now. It gives us a chance to get up to 5, but you know, those guys just made everybody proud. And I don't know what the new SEC commissioner thinks. I don't know what the clowns with NCAA think. And I sure never know what's going on in our administration. But I want Donnie Tindall, and I want him just about no matter what they have to do to keep him. And I really think and I know you can't every case is different. But if he gets much after what Syracuse got slapped on the wrist with what all went on for as long as it did, man, I'm suing them suckers. I mean, that's ridiculous. We've seen this happen before. And when they, you know, slam one team and or one school and give somebody else. But I think that's I think that would be – if he gets more than Boeheim,
our AD needs to show, Don, that he's capable of picking on somebody besides a woman.
Right. He likes big fights. Pick one with the big boys if you have
Pick to. One with the big boys. He went on Nashville radio today and said that he hadn't had a word with the NCAA. That is unconscionable for an athletic director whose program is being, and he hired the guy. He needs to stand by his man, Tammy Wynette. Stand by your man. Thank you, Don. Great phone call. Good hearing from you. You know, Keith, in these post-game shows, we've taken Don from a boy to a man. Have you noticed that? Don's got some bite to him now.
He's got a little bite to him. And, Tony, this is my one language alert of this show, because he hit on a great point about Josh Richardson. Here's a guy that the coach he signed to play for here, whether legitimately or not, perceived that he was treated poorly and run out of here. This team isn't very good. Josh has been asked to do everything under the sun for it. And he could have, no one I don't think could have reasonably blamed him if he cashed it in on this team at some point and said, I'm being asked to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Myself ready for Portsmouth. I'm going to get myself ready for the NBA draft camps. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it. As opposed to a guy like the son of a bitch we had coaching football here a couple of years ago, getting $2 million a year and doesn't even show up for his last game of work. That's the difference in character. And that's why when Josh Richardson leaves here, he's not going to be a guy that gets his jersey retired, but everybody ought to damn well remember him fondly.
You sound emotional there, Hatfield.
No, I mean, we got guys around here that, I mean, the basketball guys are never going to get their proper credit just because of where it falls in the pecking order. And that's fair to an extent, but no, guys like Josh Richardson, C.J. Watson, they gave this place a lot more than they get from it.
There's no doubt Josh Richardson deserves this team to really go on a, if there's justice in the world, he goes out like on a Jerry McNamara type run right now. Remember that at Syracuse several years ago? And hey, in this game of basketball, anything's possible. Back to the phones we go.
Oh, and the SEC's genocide of itself continues. South Carolina's up 7 on Ole Miss.
Back to the phones we go.
They're going to fool around and be a 3-bid league.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Boss Man Hatfield, I know we're still a few weeks removed from Easter, but I'm going to tell you right now, we've resurrected 2 wins from the dead in Nashville.
No doubt about that.
I was there in person for the first one. It was one of the darndest things I've ever seen. Tonight, ticket prices and scalpers were a little too excited about their inventory. They had a little inventory love. So I ended up watching across the street in a bar full of Kentucky fans, which was
get-ins for how much BOB tonight?
We were trying to get lower bowl, 2 together, anywhere in the lower bowl. The cheapest thing anybody would go was face value. $40 a ticket. And then upper deck was about the same. Scalpers are so here's the word to the wise. If you're coming down from Knoxville, West Tennessee, or wherever you're coming from, bring your cash because you're not getting in without it. The scalpers know Kentucky's in town. They know what's going on. The Kentucky fans, to their credit, they aren't just buying everything up for asking price. But as we progress into tomorrow, it's going to be it's buyer beware, boys and girls. Bring your wallet.
Kentucky plays, Keith, tomorrow in the afternoon or evening session.
They're the first game out of the gate tomorrow, I believe.
Okay, well, that'll help matters. But it won't help matters that much. Only thing that really, really, really would help matters is if they got beat tomorrow.
Well, they've got all the tickets, Tony, because they figured this scam out years ago. They've called the Mississippi States and the Auburns and the Texas A&M athletic departments of the world. Because every school gets a certain allotment. They don't send them back immediately if they don't sell them to their people. They hold on to them. And Kentucky people know that's the scam, just like Kansas people know in the Big 12. So when they realize, well, there's no way I can get one through the UK AD, they figure out who in the conference stinks or is too far away to travel, and they call them and get stuff out of their allotment.
Well, you know, I lived in Birmingham, as you guys know, for a number of years, and I would always have a lot of fun with the street alums from Alabama talking about how they'd take out a third mortgage and line of credit on their double wide to buy their season ticket. I got a feeling Kentucky does the same thing on their mobile meth lab.
I got to think meth lab production in the month of, for say, October is through the roof. Because they got to have everything ready. They got to be ready for Big Blue Madness. I would say September and early October are prime season for meth production in the Bluegrass State.
Well, yeah, because now you got March Madness and then horse racing season coming up next month. You probably got the supply built up, stored away. But they're all over downtown Nashville. It was impressive to see how much blue there was in the arena, on the streets.
They love it.
In bars and restaurants. They're everywhere.
It means everything to those people. You know, as passionate as we are for football, I don't know if we're as passionate as those people. I don't know if Alabama's as passionate for football as they are for basketball up there. Those people are literally sick with that stuff.
No, they're English soccer fans.
Yeah, they are really, really sick.
They're Liverpool. They're Chelsea. They're not like anything else in college athletics.
What are they doing down there watching us play tonight, B.O.B.? Why?
Because here's the deal. This is their spring break. This is their summer vacation. I mean,
wow.
This is the third mortgage on the Mobile Meth Lab, and they're cashing it out for a trip to Nashville for the weekend. They're going to buy overpriced beers on Lower Broadway and stay in $300 hotel rooms. And they're going to live it up. And, hey, if you're a Kentucky fan, why not? Who's going to beat you? Show me a team on the board that's got a chance of beating you in this tournament.
The SEC tournament.
Which has, by the way, been moved from Atlanta 3 hours up the road to Nashville, which makes it that much easier for them to come in here and take over.
But I don't know that it matters, because it would have been the year they had Wall and Cousins and those guys. Went down to the NCAA tournament first two rounds in New Orleans. They take that place over. Like, there's not a place in the continent. Watch the Maui tournament when they're in Maui.
Oh, they take it over.
They take the entire gym over.
There's nothing like it. They wouldn't go. They will go to the ends of the earth to follow their program. It's the strangest thing in the world. They literally have 10,000 Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs. Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs have to be at every sporting event the Vols play in. If you've ever seen them, B.O.B. in their orange blazers.
Yeah, that's the Maryville crowd, right?
I don't know who Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs are, but they are at every event, and they, if the ball is tipped off or kicked off or pitched, they are there. And I think they fly on the Concorde sometimes to get back and forth from sporting events.
Well, here's the beauty of tonight, guys. Mm-hmm. Apart from the fact that the Vandy fans couldn't find taxi cabs and get their Uber app fast enough when that clock hit zero, the beauty of tonight is, in this sports cycle, the Tennessee Vols are 3-0 against Vandy in Nashville.
That's so true, isn't it?
And I'll say it again. I've said it before. There's nothing that warms my heart more than cruising down West End Avenue and watching all the nerds take a left on the Bellevue Boulevard going home losers.
I love the Vandy hate. Let's keep it coming. Thanks, B.O.B.
I was about to say, Tony, that St. Louis Cardinal baseball fans are somewhat like Kentucky basketball fans.
Nothing's like
Kentucky. Cardinal fans don't just, it doesn't ruin their life when they get beat in a year they think they're going to win. They move on and go on. If Kentucky doesn't win a national championship this year, they will declare a state of emergency.
It's going to be so bad. Yeah. Fall when it happens, too, because it is going to happen. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402.
But one thing, Kentucky fans, Tony, they're going to be celebrating their coronation, being the number one overall seed Sunday night. For all the good fortune they have and the complete embarrassment of riches they have right now, the one thing that I just wanted to send them over the top Sunday night, what do they get to see on 30 for 30 at 9 o'clock, right after the Selection Sunday show? A celebration of the college career of one of my two or three favorite college players of all time, Christian Laettner.
You would like him. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
Tony?
Yes.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you. Go right ahead.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I rarely call, but Keith, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, so we're losing Josh next year. With the guys that we have hurt and coming in, can we replace that point total?
You can replace the point total. You can distribute. I think it's not as much the points as it is Josh creates so much for others that
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that your scoring automatically goes down, but it'll be a different scoring. And I don't know that this Josh is such a good defender. I mean, there'll be ways to offset his loss a little bit. It's just it makes a coach's life a lot easier when you don't have to think about, okay, it's the end of the game. Whose hands am I going to put the ball in?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
this wing scorer is going crazy on us. Who am I going to put on? How am I going to try to neutralize him? Josh just does so many things that are incredibly important to winning basketball games that asking one guy to do it is probably too much. I think that's one reason he's had some games towards the end of the season where he looked just completely dead out there because he's worn out. He's playing essentially 36, 37 minutes a night.
I know.
And that's tough to do.
I just got so jammed up tonight after this game. I was just like, okay, I'm thinking about next year already.
No, don't. The one thing you learn about college basketball, especially in the age we live in, seasons are so different. You have to enjoy each moment while you're in the moment.
Yeah.
Because truly, here's the thing. Maybe Hubs takes a huge step. Maybe Mostella's a really nice player. Hey, they think he's going to be. Maybe they land the junior college point guard that they're on. Or maybe they get somebody else. Or I've been told the staff's chasing a couple fifth-year guys around. Maybe they land one or two of those guys. Maybe they turn that roster over. And there's more than just three signees. Maybe there's four or five in the spring and a couple guys leave who don't figure in the plans. And remember, you're also getting McGee back next year. And I think watching this coaching staff, everybody on that team, everybody, I think has gotten better from the beginning of the season.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So I think there's a lot to be said for, I look for them to come back and have a better record than they had last year with next year's team, and I think the number will be better. I think maybe Don was right tonight. Donnie showed me something tonight when he went to a man defense. He showed us something tonight, because he has not done that. That was a solid job by him. Really solid job by all those kids.
He's been a 1-3-1 and 2-3 now and then, and now all of a sudden he played man.
And it was great. It was great.
And what about Hubs? I mean,
wow.
From the beginning of the year to now, gosh.
Wow. What's incredible about him is he went from a guy who wouldn't shoot a layup back in December to a guy who tonight, Richardson saw him open on the wing, and Richardson, as Keith said, just a little thing, the wraparound Magic Johnson pass, as TR called it earlier last hour, knew I'm getting the ball to him. This ball's going in. And it was for the lead. It was the biggest shot of the night. It was the backbreaker.
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt. Tony, off subject real quick. Your blog, I read it every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's my Bible. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to get your blog set up every day? Because I'm an independent businessman like you. I mean, how long does that take you to do every day?
Couple and a half hours. But I appreciate you noticing that. And I'll say this from my blog. Vol Colonel, Keith Hatfield, Bino, Orange Throat, X. I have a lot of terrific contributors. And I like to create an environment where people can shine. And I think we do that. But I appreciate you noticing.
Oh, I haven't missed your blog in 4 years. I just keep
going. Oh, thank you, man. Spread the word for me, will you?
I keep wondering, man, this is a lot of work.
It is.
I wonder how long it takes you to do.
It is. In fact, I'm sitting here typing a little bit right now. As you're talking, I wrote a few things down for tomorrow.
Yeah.
As Keith talks, I'm just making some notes for my blog here, which is why you hear a little typing in the background. So I apologize for that.
Oh, no biggie. I just appreciate you do it. Keep
Thanks.
Me off ESPN.com. Just go to your...
Hey, thank you, man. Have a great night, okay? Thanks for the kind words. All right. Good talking to you.
One thing we saw in the game tonight is the value once you get past the elite of the elite freshmen, talking about the Kentuckys, the Kansases, the Dukes, the Carolinas, the people who get those guys who will probably be starting in the NBA next year at that top of the top level freshmen. You saw what happens when you got experienced grown men playing against kids in the last 5 minutes of that game. Because Vanderbilt is painfully young. And Kevin Punter and Josh Richardson just treated them like children the last 5 minutes of the game. I mean, Punter, poor Riley LeChance was trying to saddle him up and ride him on that one breakaway where we thought it was a three-point play and they didn't give him the basket, which that was actually one of the rare times they got a call right. LeChance fouled him for a good 50 feet. But he couldn't budge him. And that's something you have to think about when you look at building a team. A lot of people, when we talk about this on my show, your show, these post-game shows, Tony, people talk about they're not real keen on using junior college guys. I'd much rather have a guy who's physically mature, who maybe, okay, he's got to learn to play in a more structured system or this or that, than a guy who's that, especially when you need the help Tennessee needs next year. Just my thought, if I'm Donnie Tindall, I'm not even considering signing any more freshmen into this class.
I believe what they're doing, outside of the one hotshot point guard who is the Florida commitment, I think they're locked in on the great kid, the point guard. I think they're locked in on the other two kids from New Mexico Junior College that I think they're in pretty good shape with. I think they're locked in. They're trying to get another fifth-year guy or two for next year. Now, can they do it? I don't know. All this stuff going to clear up? I think it's an excellent point you bring up, though, Keith. Especially in today's basketball, how many guys have we seen? And how many times, especially with the junior college players at this time of the year? Hey, I go back to that magical run that Wichita State had several years ago. Keith, I remember having their head coach on in December, and he had completely turned that roster over. It took them till the end of the year, pretty much, to start to play, if you remember that.
What?
And they went on that run. I mean, it was a tear. And he had men out there. He had men on his team.
There's something to be... People underestimate that. Well, that's one reason. You look outside of Kentucky and Duke, mm-hmm. Everybody else that you can look at and say legitimately has a chance, for the most part, Arizona's got guys, for the most part, that are juniors and seniors. I mean, Stanley Johnson, they've got one elite freshman, but that's mostly grown men.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, pretty much all grown men. Virginia, pretty much all grown men. That, unless you can get those top of the top guys, you're better off building a...
How about Villanova? Villanova might be the number one. They're wanting to be the number one overall seed. They're not going to be, but they're wanting to be one of the number one seeds, which they may be. And they're all grown. Javon Pinkston is a grown man.
Absolutely. It's a situation where you see every year, mm-hmm. when you see someone get picked off in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
One of your big schools, like Kansas getting beaten by Bucknell, or mm-hmm. this one or that one. Almost always it's because, if you look back at it in retrospect, it's because the marquee program was incredibly talented, but incredibly young,
mm-hmm.
and whatever Team X that picked them off, look at the experience that George Mason's Final Four team had.
Mm-hmm.
VCU's, which, as you said, Wichita State. There's a lot to be said for that, and certainly they've fallen off a little bit in the last couple of years, but the model that we mentioned in the past with Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
and teams like that. And while I know a lot of people around here hate him because of the connection, kind of what Purdue did for a lot of years, for the most part, with Gene Cady. But Gene Cady had really one guy that anybody could pick out of a lineup, if you're talking college basketball, in the whole time he was at Purdue. And won a bunch of Big Ten championships. Never made the Final Four, but I mean, they had multiple Elite Eights and Sweet 16. You don't have to go out and get Carl Anthony Towns every year to have a really, really good basketball program.
You want to know?
If you did, there'd only be about four of them or five programs in the country.
Well, and that's, I think that's my point. And that's what I think you and I are singing on the same songbook, because, or singing off the same songbook. one of the reasons I love Donnie's system, Keith, is that what he values is toughness. You know, today, talking to Mike Young over there at Wofford, he said, listen, he said, here's what I value. Give me a guy with five-star toughness who could be a two- or three-star player versus a guy that's a five-star player that has two-star toughness. He said, if you are five-star talent and you have two-star toughness, you might as well not even bother. There's a lot of truth to that. Tindall's guys, Tindall has, I'm telling you, people laugh at this. Keith, if Woodson stays on this team or McGehee doesn't get hurt, we're talking about a team that could have been playing their way in tonight. And now you can laugh at that if you want. They were damn close with eight guys, as it was.
Well, look at it this way, Tony. This is something Beano and Robbie and those of us sitting out at Cassie's tonight were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, a fantastic venue, Tony. Nobody finds better venues for the Basilio broadcast family than you. That's just fantastic work. I was duly impressed with the place. I would highly recommend it, without a doubt. But what you get, Tony, you look at that team in those situations, but think about if the guy who Donnie replaced had simply decided, this place isn't for me, this isn't going to work out, I'm going to go somewhere else, instead of essentially running off Darius Thompson and A.J. Davis and leading to the decommitments of Philip Cofer and Larry Austin. You tell me. But he's a good guy, Tony, and Seth Davis will sell you some of his mother's fake cancer cure and tout that guy. Great humanitarian, fine guy.
Konzo Martin completely badmouthed the Donnie Tindall and Tennessee to all those kids behind the scenes. Don't be fooled. We deal in facts on this program. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey,
Rog.
Hey,
Rog.
Hey, go Vols tonight, Tony.
So fun, Rog.
Oh, wow. I just don't know how much it means, Tony. I just believe it means a lot to Tennessee one night, Keith. And Keith, how much involves Keith, not Keith? Not Keith.
Oh, that's a great one, Roger. That's why we keep coming. That's the kind of win that keeps you coming back. You can get your heart broken by it a million times, but, man, the feeling you get from a comeback win by your team like that's what keeps you coming back.
I try. And Tennessee, can do a good job tonight. Good job, Tennessee Vols. That's a great effort tonight. That was a wonderful tonight. Tennessee, great job tonight, Tennessee. I mean a lot to Tennessee. So, good job tonight, good effort tonight, Tennessee. Tony, how much you say this, you know, saying anything like it before? Tony, how big is it, this win, you think, tonight? How big win, you think it's not Tony?
I don't know what it means program-wise. I can only speak for myself. My level of appreciation for any team that I enjoy, when they go above and beyond and lay it on the line, it means so much more to me than just a talented team showing up and smashing somebody. And, Rog, to see those kids and the night they had, come on, it was so fun.
It was. Yeah, I was nervous, and I was playing, and I was nervous too, Tony, the whole time. Coming back, I was playing and nervous too, same time, you know. And then, Tony, it was really exciting to see that effort come back. It's really, wow, Tony, I was just scared, Tony. You said that you left the restaurant tonight, and he called you. So how'd you do that, Tony? How'd you do the show and the call?
That equipment I have, Rog? That thing that works on the cell phone?
Right.
And there were a couple dead spots between here and the house, but
what
I do is, what I did tonight is, I don't have to have that plugged in. It works on a battery. that'll work for 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
And I've never tried it in a moving car. It just came to me. Instead of doing it on the cell phone, and it allowed me to sound like it was semi-studio quality.
Oh.
And I did that literally in the automobile, my vehicle, while my son was driving me home. That really happened to me.
Wow.
That's a true story.
That's good job, Tony. You're doing a good job of doing that.
I'm just, you know what?
I'm
just blessed to have paid my dues.
Right.
And to have stuck around this long and to have been able to build up a following like we have. And, you know, I'd like to think we've done a lot of things.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of things well.
You're right, Tony. Hey, Keith, what tennis do you, I know tennis play on this hard, next one, what tennis do you have to do, you think it's going to be tougher, or do you think it's going to be one night, Keith? That's a really good question.
I'm going to ask Keith later about that. But Keith, what about tomorrow night? Tomorrow night's a winnable game because Tennessee easily could have been 2-0 against Arkansas, Keith, this year.
Arkansas is also locked in the NCAA field.
Yep.
And like I said, we've had this discussion. I probably value Mike Anderson as a coach more than most of our audience does. But tomorrow night, you find out. We'll see how motivated they are. And Tennessee, you just can't turn the ball over against Arkansas because Arkansas feeds off your mistakes, and they want to get out and get up and down and get it into a high 70s, low 80s type score. So if Tennessee's able to protect the ball and avoid letting them get run outs and get Qualls and Madden and those guys out in transition and getting dunks and easy baskets, Tennessee's shown they can play with them. I mean, Tennessee was right there. Not just the game they won in Knoxville. Tennessee rimmed out a shot at the buzzer to send the game in Fayetteville to overtime. So Tennessee's got no lack of confidence tomorrow night that they can play with those guys.
All right. Yeah, that's great, Tony. They can't leave, Tony. Since Pearl has been there, helped Tennessee win 7 and 7 without one in a while, and Tony, it's feels good to win, you know. It feels good to win that, Tony. Especially with Kendall, his first year, you know. It's his first year to win, you know, Tony. So I'm sure he's happy, you know. It's great for him, you know. For Josh, too. I'm happy for Josh, too, Tony, that he gets to continue to play Tennessee, you know, Tony, though, you know.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe we're having this conversation. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. I feel happy for Josh and I and everybody.
I'm happy for you, Raj.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm happy for you. You need it tonight, man.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And you know who else? And you know who else, Raj? I'm happy for tonight.
Who's that?
Doc. You know why? Because Doc Dearstone needed that win tonight, Raj.
Yeah.
Because that basketball team matters to him. I bet you he's listening.
Right.
I bet you he's listening to us right now. Love you, buddy. Hey, call Doc tomorrow. See if he's interested. Okay. See if he's gonna be watching tomorrow night.
All right, see ya.
All right, buddy. Bye. What do you think of me? What do you think of me? Hey, what
I'm
do you think?
I'm working on my ladies bracket. I'm working on a ladies projected bracket.
What do you think of me using hitting Roger over the head like a wet noodle with the Doc?
I think that's
cool.
You expect.
Not cool. Yeah, what do you expect from Basilio? That's a good point.
I mean, I'm sure.
I am a simpleton.
Other than maybe Dave Hart, I don't know. I think he may hate us more than he may hate Bruce Pearl more than he hates us. Because I heard a piece of their show this morning, hitting into Shaxboro.
Dearstone hates Pearl. Yeah.
Dearstone said, Jacoby said something about, apparently yesterday they've been doing SEC tournament as they go predictions, and apparently everybody picked Mississippi State to beat them. And Jacoby said something to the effect of, well, why didn't we do that? And Dearstone said something to the effect of, you know why we did that.
Let's go back to the phones.
Then Heather did a commercial for a liquor store.
Hey.
And some really awful
callers called in.
Really awful stuff.
Let's be nice. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200.
Hey, I like liquor stores, Tony.
865-200. Well, I like your commercial about the teeth chattering, too cold to hold. All right.
Woods and Shell and beautiful Lafayette.
Tennessee tonight with 22. Richardson with 22 in the game tonight. How about Hubs tonight with 16? You talk about a weird night. You ain't going to see this every night out of the Volunteers. Who doesn't get into the scoring column tonight? Moore.
Armani Moore
finishes
0-6. What's Armani now scored in the last two? What did he score Saturday against South Carolina?
Now, I'll say this for Armani Moore. They were mugging him early, and they were not calling it. They allowed them to murder him.
He's still defending. And one thing Armani does well is he's a guy that gets bodies on people that allows somebody else to get a rebound.
Three guys had four fouls tonight, finished with four fouls. Who were they?
Finished with four?
Mm-hmm.
Armani, Reese, and probably Willie.
You got it. Willie.
Of course. Now, part of that is Damian Jones will be an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
If he, the one problem with him, and you saw it again tonight, it happened at the game in Nashville. It happened up here, they just masked it by hitting a three every other time down the floor. When they don't throw him the ball, he just quits playing.
If you remember, we could have swept them three games because we had them on the ropes there, and they had that really strange stretch where White Lightning tonight, who was back to his normal form of 2 points,
yes,
0-4 from the field, 0-4 from 3-point land. It didn't get down for White Lightning tonight.
No. Well, we're up 13, I think, and Reese takes that scud three from the corner.
What in the world is he doing?
That cleared everything, and then they come down and hit three consecutive threes to cut it down to four, and then the game was over. But no, Tennessee, now granted, conversely, you can say that Tennessee, there's no way they should have won either of the games in Nashville.
Not true. Should have had a three-game sweep. Back to the phones we go.
I can get with that. It's just this team isn't going to win many games when they A are down 5 with 17 seconds to go, and B they're down whatever it was 10 or 12 with 5 minutes to go.
20-2 run over the final 6:20 of the game, Keith. I called that. How about you?
Oh, I was certain that was happening. You know how the ESPN's got that mathematical formula thing they do now,
yes,
on their website,
which is so absurd, right?
Where they show that at a given point in the game, this was the probability, given all the mathematics, that a team was going to win, given all what a team's done all year. What do you think the probability was Tennessee was going to win with about 6 minutes and 30 seconds to go?
Wow. I mean,
you'd have to ask the Hubble telescope to find that.
That's a great line. Back to the phones we go. Boy, Keith, you really have given me a cornucopia of tremendous lines tonight. Let's get our next call in. I got more lines than Abe Vigoda tonight. Hello and welcome to our next caller.
Tony B, what's shaking, brother?
Hey, brother. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to give a shout-out to my boys up in Lee County, Virginia.
Yeah.
The 05ers, four of them listening, Tony.
The 05ers. Is Barney Boy one of them?
Barney Boy is not one of them.
What happened to Barney Boy?
Man, I don't know, Tony. We don't know who you're talking about, man. After you mentioned that last time I called,
I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to offend you. He's a guy that called the football post game show. Just one of the craziest human beings I've ever heard. He called Whirly. He called Whirly wobbling, Whirly wobbly, Whirly. Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna have to get my brothers there in Lee County and try to find out who Barney Boy might be.
Yes.
Yeah, Tony. Just to take words out of your mouth, just the way Donnie Tindall just massaged that game late in that game was just perfect. that D, it just smothered them up, took Jones right out of that game, Tony.
That switching to man, but they haven't done it literally all year, was so out of nowhere, and it completely altered the game. It had Kevin Stallings so befuddled over there. That shot of him, and I'm going to tell you something, Kevin Stallings, people make fun of him all they want. That guy's a heck of a coach. And Tindall tonight got the best of him. Tindall got the best of him tonight.
He really did, Tony. I don't even know what you call that, dude. Just a matchup zone, man, flash. It was crazy, but it definitely had them rattled there at the end and took Jones out of the game, and it was sweet, Tony. And, you know, just the way we played, you know, with Armani getting in foul trouble early, basically took him out of the game. I think, what, he had like 3 rebounds or something like that? I don't know, just amazing effort by these guys with Richardson putting the team on his shoulders and just taking over, Tony.
I can't comprehend what we saw. I mean, I just can't even believe. I hate to be this way and keep repeating myself. Man, is this why we watch sports? Because I had no idea that was even in them. Did you?
I agree, Tony. I mean, I keep repeating myself, too. You know, we have no inside game. We have no point guard. We have no shooters. But yet, somehow, we just find ways in big games to pull it out like this. It's just... it's amazing, really. So can you imagine what Tindall would do with a team with a true point guard,
no,
with a couple of big men like Jones out there, some good shooters? I mean, can you imagine what the future might be?
If this AD, who is a clown that we have, doesn't fight for this guy, I will be forever pissed.
Yeah. I'm
like, there are rumors right now that they've already gotten a letter and they're going to fire him. If they do that, okay, if they don't see this thing through and make the NCAA make a ruling, they're a bunch of damn fools.
Oh, it would be.
Can I say that loud and clear? They're not going to find the guy better than this guy. They're not.
No,
I've been around here a long time. This guy is as good as we've had here. I mean, he is a package guy. And as Keith said, the guy loves his toughness, right? He loves his toughness. You can win a lot of games in this league playing like that, just by being tougher than everybody else.
Yeah, and that's exactly how we've done it. I mean, we've got basically one basketball player guy. You
that's
know?
Exactly yeah, right. That is exactly right.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, you know, you add McGee to this team, and tonight we may have just punched our ticket to the NCAA tournament. If we just had that one player.
Think about it. Vanderbilt tonight was on the precipice of getting in. Texas A&M was on the precipice of getting in. Mississippi State, they were right there. Tennessee was not that far away from that. They're not.
No, we really weren't, Tony. Just 3 or 4 games, man. But I think the future's bright. We just got to hang on to Donnie and this staff, man. They're a bunch of go-getters, that's for sure.
No
what
question.
What do you think, Hatfield, tomorrow night? What do you think we got to do to beat this? What's the recipe to beat this Arkansas team again? I know we beat them in the Tommy Bowl, but
handle the pressure, shoot a little better from the perimeter than we normally do, and don't just get completely dominated by Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
It's very doable. It's and plus you have the fact that Arkansas is already qualified. So they're just... tomorrow night is a great opportunity. If Tennessee has any legs left, tomorrow night's a great opportunity to get another win. But it's a big if. Do they have legs? I would think that tonight, that now they're on house money, come out tomorrow night, make a few shots early, and let's get the party started in Nashville. How much fun would that be to get to Saturday?
Yeah, just come out loose like Katy Perry and just let it, you know, balls deep, Tony, and just play, you know, just play loose. Tony, I'm out here, brother. Hey, we're going to get a search plan out for Barney Boy, though. We got to find out who that is.
You've got it, yeah. You've got to go and search for Barney Boy, just like I went and searched for Mr. Basketball back in the day over in East Knoxville. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Keith, do you remember the guy that used to drive around West Knoxville with the he used mailbox lettering like that you would get down at Home Depot? And it was some sort of Sanskrit type material, Sanskrit, and he had Mr. Basketball in mailbox lettering on the top of his, let's see, what kind of car was it? It was like an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. Mr. Basketball.
See, Tony, that's the kind of reference you only get on this show. Just like, one time I would like to put out an APB for Dewey Ogle, Tony.
And who would Dewey Ogle be?
When I was in undergrad and law school at UT, Tony, invariably, if you went into a men's room, you would see somewhere on the bathroom wall written, Dewey Ogle sucks, S-U-X. I don't know what Dewey Ogle did.
Shout out Dewey Ogle. Big ups, Dewey Ogle.
We need to find out the genesis of this. Even if you're the person who posted that.
Yes.
If you're the person who wrote that, what was your beef with Dewey Ogle?
Well, I agree with that simpleton Tack Air Spike tonight who says that we need to do a Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs Tell Me a Story. Because the story...
They sat directly next to one of my best friends at Thompson Bowling Arena. He's directly across the aisle from them.
The Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs story of... And Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs are, shall we say, the hefty couple. They might even be listening to us tonight. And Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs, if you're listening, we don't mean... We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you while we make sport of you. Just live with it. But Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs, you're wonderful supporters. You never miss an event. And the time...
The Virgin Island story is the best one ever, Tony.
The time that, well, I don't know. The time that they were going down to Dallas and Mr. Tubbs was in first class and had Mrs. Tubbs one row from the lavatory was pretty strong, where she was downwind. Let's go back to our phones.
What would happen if you tried that with Mrs. B?
You know how...
On the wing.
That's exactly right.
In the lavatory, wouldn't you, Tony?
What I was saying is the whole way that they depressurize those cabins, she would shove me through a window and make me like it. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402.
Robbie had a great point tonight, Tony. We were talking about, you know, what coaches are in the club and who isn't, and how a lot of Bruce Pearl's NCAA problems are because he wasn't in the club and he shook up the club. Because he didn't know his place. And that's what happens in the club. And I said something about how completely not in the club Donnie Tindall is. And Robbie said, yeah, if he weren't the coach at Tennessee, he'd probably be one of our callers.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the guy...
Yeah, Donnie would be some guy selling insurance.
Let me tell you this.
Calling in saying, why didn't we play more zone or something?
Let me tell you this. I spent some time around those people at Cassie's today. Donnie goes in there a lot. He lives right near there. And they say that when he comes in there, he tips really well. He spends time with people. He talks to them. He gets to know them. Just kind of hangs out. You'd never know that his station is above them, supposedly, in life. He's just kind of just there being a dude. Concept.
I think that seals it.
Well, that's the deal. Listen. Well, that's why he won't come back. Right. That's right.
Well, I look at it this way. What I was going to say, it seals this, Tony. If they don't pull off some miracle run and aren't doing anything better, I think he and Gulp need to come out, and we have Donnie Tindall, Jason Phelps Appreciation Day next Thursday and Friday for the NCAA tournament at Cassie.
I think that's a great point.
Let's put it this way. We'll get the TV folk out there and everything, and let Dave Hart see, because the only thing Dave Hart's going to understand is hellish public pressure and what could hurt his pocketbook, and show how much we're behind this guy.
We ought to do a rally for Tindall. That's not a bad idea. Let's go back to the phones, because I'm telling you, I don't trust this Hart guy, not even a little bit. He told Nashville Radio today that he hadn't even called. I mean, I don't get that. He should be on the offense. On the offense. Back to our phones we go.
Maybe he's going with that, if I can't see a problem, it doesn't exist, way of thinking.
Maybe. I I sure hope when it comes down to it that he's standing there for that man. Let's go back to the phones and grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
Guys, any team and staff that lays a couple of teeth-cracking defeats on Vandy will always have a special place in my heart.
Yes, that's very well put, Bino.
Hey, Bino, nothing else. If this is it for Donnie here, he leaves this place with a winning record against Vanderbilt.
He's okay with me, Keith. He'll always be okay with me. Hey, I want to echo what Keith said, Tony. It's just a great night tonight. Thanks for setting it up. Thanks to the folks at Cassie's and everybody that showed up and the boss for making it. It was just a wonderful night over there. Really, really special.
Thank you, Bino, for being there.
I don't know what's more strange. The trio of games between Tennessee and Vandy this season, or the fact that there was apparently a fake Dave Nathan there tonight. Did fake Dave Nathan not tell you he was not there?
Fake Dave Nathan said I was not there. There was another individual there tonight claiming to be fake Dave Nathan in the house. And now we had a fake Dave Nathan. As opposed to...
Fake Dame Bradshaw
does fake good works. For the longest time, Bino, I was giving fake Dame Bradshaw credit for all these great works, like getting Roger an autographed football from Butch Jones. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And finally, one of his friends said, he doesn't do any of that. Why do you keep saying it's fake Dame Bradshaw?
Do we really call guys like Tack Air Spy? Let's not elevate guys like our boys, Tack Air Spy.
I introduced Tack Air Spike to it. Now, how about this? Here's the kind of guy Tack Air Spike is, Bino. I introduced him to somebody tonight, and the first thing he did was show him the video of Mike Krzyzewski passing out, and he said, here's the rat. I mean, Bino, what kind of people are those?
Well, I tell you one thing. That's a table full of simpletons, but they're funny simpletons.
They are total simpletons.
Oh, goodness. Hey, Smitty was right tonight. Have there ever been three stranger games played between two teams in these Tennessee Vandy games this year? Every one of them was just stupid. The runs were just stupid. Didn't make any sense.
Stupid. No. Tonight's game justified logic.
Now, Josh Richardson and Robert Hubbs and somewhat Devin Balkman all had solid games tonight, but I mean there's Reese and Punter just struggling in everything in every way and wound up hitting, I believe, huge back to back threes.
Bino, those guys hit the switch late. I don't know what happened because we haven't made a shot. Hey, the shot, you know when you knew we were in great shape? And Keith said it earlier, it is when we saw the go-ahead three ball. When that thing went in, you just knew it. You just knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a matter, because I had totally given up. When we cut it to two and they ran it back up to double digits, I said, this team's given all they've had to give most of the year. They're done.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I was resigned and happy with it, right?
Yeah. I know we don't have a true post scorer or really a real consistent perimeter guy. So I guess I can understand performances kind of coming and going, but I don't believe I've ever seen a team like that. Do you all remember the episode of Andy Griffith where the Mayberry Band wanted to go to a competition, but they sucked so bad they mixed in some of those Bobby Fleet and his band with the beat guys so the mayor would give them okay to go? Somehow this team, at home, they're the Mayberry Band. And when they go on the road, it's like they mix in some new guys or something. I've just never seen anything like this.
They're so comfortable in their own skin on the road, aren't they, Bino?
They are, and it doesn't... We've talked about it all year long. Basically, an inexperienced team that relies so heavily on pressure defense, where you're going to foul a lot, and perimeter shooting, that team should be twice as good at home as they are on the road. And
well, they're built to fail on the road. That team is built to fail on the road.
Yeah.
By all standard normal measures in college basketball, that team is almost designed to lose on the road.
Somehow they've got a Bill and Wrestler bit to them where for whatever reason, they get more energy out of people pulling against them than they do pulling for them. I don't know how or why, but that's the case with this bunch.
I think that's why I like them so much.
Yeah, I do too. They're so roller coaster too. Every game, it seems like every other game, one game, well, the season's over. Next game, boy, this is really fun. Is that what you all are doing? That's what I'm doing.
So even when it's been bad this year, with the exception of probably the LSU game and the second half of the Alabama game, it's been entertaining to me because sometimes you just got to look at it and go, that's funny. We've managed to, I mean, poor Josh Richardson tonight had, I think, arguably the best dunk of his career. But think about some of the misadventures Josh has into the open floor going for dunks and stuff. He may be the worst dunker in the history of college basketball. I mean, he dunked the one over the shot clock a couple of years ago against Memphis. The left-handed one he threw down tonight. And you saw that tonight. You saw a guy who just didn't want his career to end. He's 2 of 9 and then hits his next 6 shots. You'll see that a lot.
I tell you, Keith, I'll give you this. You were, without question, you saw what Josh Richardson could be long before any of the rest of us did. Because I really thought he was just an average to below average player. But, well, I don't know where in the world we would have been in that tournament run last year or this year without him. And it's so good to see him get rewarded with another game at the very least.
But I think I got to give the media and the coaches in this league some credit for putting a guy on the first team All-SEC team off a 15-15 team. You don't see that a lot in this league.
No, that's well put. A lot of respect for him.
That's usually reserved for the Allen Houstons of the world or the guys who make the All-SEC teams off middling teams. I mean, it's guys that are epic stars. That do it.
So. By the way, Allen Houston popped into Tennessee's locker room tonight, you know, just to make a weird night weirder when the game was over. And you know where he was down there in Nashville back in 91.
Memorial Gym making a run.
You got it, man.
Man, that's something.
And that's the other good thing for Josh this week is I can't imagine there'll be more NBA scouts at any conference tournament than there will be at the SEC tournament simply because all the Kentucky guys are there. And Portis is there, and the two LSU big guys. Josh probably made himself some more money tonight. Josh is going to fool around, and a good team's going to go, that's our kind of guy, and take him at the back end of that first round.
Well, he's done everything. Guaranteed. He's totally sacrificed this year, but in doing so, in being a little selfless about where he played this year, I think he increased his NBA stock.
No doubt about it, and those guys see that.
Yeah. One more quick thing, I'll get out of the way here. We talked about this tonight, Keith. Tony, it's amazing how quickly you can actually turn around a basketball team. When you think about, and I know we beat them 2 out of 3, but that Vandy basketball team's a good basketball team, and they're going to be an NCAA basketball team next year. And Keith's right, they were about one more win away from being one this year. And yet last year, Stallings is sitting down there with 7 scholarship players, and I thought for all the world his program was absolutely dead in the water. If the NCAA will just tell us something and get the heck out of the way, it won't take much to build this basketball program back. Not with a guy like Tim.
Do you trust this AD we have, Bino, to navigate ourselves through this thing?
Are you kidding me? Have we named David Blackburn our athletic director? Has Hart taken that backup position in the SEC, and Blackburn's our athletic director, and I didn't know about it?
Wow.
I think I figured out how to get Dave Hart to go nuclear on the NCAA. Send him a picture of either Mark Emmert or Oliver Luck in either a dress or a really, really ugly orange Hawaiian shirt?
God, that's terrible.
He will declare war on them immediately.
Bino, Keith, you're a simpleton. Bino, thank you. Love you, brother. Hey, see you tomorrow, Bino, where we will be. Thanks, Bino.
Wouldn't miss. See you, Tom.
We're going to be at Hardee's on Campbell Station Road. Bino and myself, man, I sure hope you'll come out and eat some lunch and talk some sports with us. I'm looking forward to sleeping in tonight. And we've got small group in the morning, but I don't know if we'll get there. What a long day that was, but worth every penny. Let's go back to our phones and grab our next call as we're heading into the 11 o'clock hour. I